What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're on episode 39, and we're talking about prophecy, the gift of prophecy, because this is another gift that has been misused in the body of Christ. We're going to talk about the duties, the lifestyles of a true prophet. We're also going to talk about how to see whether a prophet is really of God or not. This is based off a series that I had called True Prophets. So in the sermon notes, you'll see links to those articles if you want to see all these scriptures and that I referenced and stuff like that. So let's get into it. I just want to prove, number one, that the triune God is giving out three sets of gifts, and prophecy is in each one of them. So I get this concept from 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So as you can see in there, you see three persons of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, in verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 5, and then in verse 6, you see God the Father. So we see the Holy Spirit giving out gifts or manifestations, the Lord Jesus Christ giving out administrations, or what some call offices, or the fivefold ministry. And then you see God the Father giving out operations or functions in the body of Christ. And so I mentioned functions in my last series. I think it's about seven of them. And these are your, what they call motivational gift, operational gift, your functions. You're always doing this stuff. This is always on for you. So I just want to show you where prophecy pops up in each set of the gifts that are given out through the Godhead. So when we go to the set of gifts that come from the Holy Spirit, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, in verse 10, it says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. So we see here, Holy Spirit is giving out prophecy. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. And this is where we get the list of gifts or operations or motivational gifts or functions that come from God the Father. And if you go to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, in verse 6, you'll see it says, having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So we see here that one of the gifts from God the Father is prophecy. And then we find the fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, where Jesus is giving out offices. And it says here, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So you see prophets is named amongst them again. So this is where I'm getting this from. So I believe, according to scripture, that there are three kinds of prophets. And it goes this way. Number one, the occasional prophet. This is the prophet that prophesies here and there as he's given utterance. He has the gift of prophecy from the Holy Spirit. And as I said in my last sermon, Holy Spirit is in control of those gifts. He turns them on and off. So he don't always be prophesying. You can't go to him and say, hey, give me a word from God. He may not be able to do that for you, because that's not an operational gift, as I'll talk about next. That's the gift from the Holy Spirit. I would say that it's more of a personal thing. So you can go to your brother and God will give a prophecy to be between you and him. That's how it works. It's not necessarily something that is always heard in front of the entire church or assembly. So just understand that. You have the operational prophet, number two, and this is the gift that comes from God the Father. As I mentioned before, all the gifts that come from God the Father, you function in them on a daily basis. You can't help but operate in them. So, you know, you'll always have a word for somebody. That's who you are when it comes to the body of Christ. That's your function. Voice the mind of God. That's what you're going to be doing. You ain't going to be able to help it. It's just to be the way it is, you know. Oh, I got another word. This is what God is saying today. This is what God is saying for the church today. And so that person, you'll get a word from them if they're operating in God and they're a true prophet, okay? And then we got the third prophet. And this is the prophet that comes from Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the body of Christ. And all of his gifts are administrative. They're in some way, when you think about an administrator, that's a person that's over other people. And so I believe this particular prophet is oversees their prophecies and makes sure that everything is fine. You know, that they're not making up stuff, that they're not pretending to be a prophet that they're not, stuff like that. And I see a lot of those prophets in the Old Testament where they had to deal with false prophets. Elijah, he had to end up killing a bunch of Baal prophets. You see Isaiah, you see a bunch of other prophets that were administrative prophets. They overlooked the other prophets because functioning as a prophet, you do need to be checked. You got to make sure. And we find this in 1 Corinthians 14:29-33. And I want to read that for you. I'm just 1 Corinthians 14:29-33. It says, let two people, this is New Living Translation, let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. But if someone is prophesying, another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak, one after the other, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember, the people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. So we see here people checking each other's prophecy. And you can do the same thing. Like I said, if you're an operational prophet, you're always prophesying, you have the right to check another prophet that's in your congregation. Now, in the administrative prophet, he prepares the people for trial and tribulation. He has more of the insight of into what's going to happen in the future and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. And so he has more, I would say, significance when he comes around. But like I said, nobody's better than anybody else. They just have a position where they have to keep the body of Christ in order. And so that's why I believe there's three different kind of prophets. So you got number one, the occasional prophet that speaks as he's given utterance. He don't always have a prophecy, but when he does, it's for personal use. Between you and another brother, he might prophesy. Okay, you got the second prophet who always prophesying. He has a gift from God the Father. And then the third prophet, the administrative prophet, who has a bigger responsibility of overseeing the rest of the prophets in the body of Christ. And he this is the man of God that's very close to the Lord. Learn to hear from God about which one you are if you have the gift of prophecy. And once we dig down into the lifestyle, you'll see if that's your lifestyle, you're probably a prophet. Some people are not. They think they're prophets, but they're not. So let's just moving on. Let's talk about the lifestyle and the duties of a true prophet and what their message is. So whatever prophet you are, whether occasional, where you're, you know, you're operational prophet or you're an administrative prophet, your main focus is keeping the saints on track with God in his vision and speaking to the people when they stop listening to God and preparing them for the last day. So let me deal with the main message that they have, because it's always centered around Christ. And this is how you know you got a true prophet. In Revelations chapter 19, verses 10, it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. So this is John falling to the angel or somebody. And he told him to get up. And he says, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So testifying about Jesus should be coming out in the language of a prophet at all times. So when you hear a prophet prophesy, you should be asking these questions. Does it speak of repentance of sin and restoration through the blood of Jesus? Another thing you should be thinking about, does it strengthen the faith of the hearer in Jesus? And then finally, does it lead to the glorification of Jesus? You see, the prophecy must glorify Jesus, it must strengthen your faith in Jesus, and it must lead to you a repenting of your sins in the blood of Jesus. If it ain't dealing with those things, you know, you got something that's not necessarily a sound prophecy. So going on, what are the duties of a prophet? Number one is to perfect the saints to do the work of ministry. That's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11. The fivefold ministry, we talked about that, for perfecting of the saints. Okay, that applies primarily to the administrative prophet because he's helping the other prophets be better prophets and stuff like that. Prophets, sometimes they foretell of danger, blessing, and direction. So God says, look, don't go here. Don't do that. There's danger around the corner. I'm going to bless you if you do this. And where should I go in my life? Well, the prophet said, go this way, because you're speaking from God and you should go this way. He gives you direction. Prophets keep the people of God in his will, whether it be a local assembly or several churches in a particular city. He may go to all those different assemblies and say, hey, this is the will of God. I'm trying to keep y'all on track. This is what the word of God is saying. Prophets are second to apostles in the church of God. As I mentioned, the apostle must come first to lay the foundation, and then the prophets come to establish the track of where the people are going to go. And then the teachers come up after that, and everybody else, pastors and everything like that. As I said before, all of these duties don't apply to every kind of prophet, because some of them are just for administrative, some are for, but for the most part, the first part, perfecting the saints, that's for the administrative prophet. The other things, they all apply to the rest of the prophets. Okay. Here is the commonalities among true prophets. They are faithful, blameless, and humble. That's how your life got to be. All right. The second thing you'll find amongst prophets is some were men, some were women. All right. We find that in Acts chapter 21, verses 9. And we find that even in Joel. He talks about men and women will prophesy, your sons and daughters will prophesy. So the Bible does not exclude women from the gift of prophecy or being operational prophets. There can be a woman sitting around and all she got is prophecy. So the Bible doesn't go against that. But I want to be clear that prophecy is not the same as pastoring and teaching. And a lot of times they want to make out, well, see, this woman's a prophet, so she can be a teacher and a pastor. That ain't the same thing. Prophesying, speaking the heart of God, teaching is something different. Pastoring is something different. Okay, so it's a different office and a different position and function. So God's saying you can do one thing, but you can't do the other. So you can't blend the two together and say that prophecy and teaching and is all the same thing. You know, yes, it's a form of speaking what God is saying, because all of this is coming from God. The teaching's coming from God. Prophecy is coming from God. The healing's coming from God. Just because it's all coming from God don't mean you can blend teaching and prophecy together and say, well, women can preach and teach the Bible and lead the flock of God, when the Bible is against that. Okay. And we'll talk about that in a whole nother sermon. I just wanted to say that right quick. Some prophets were able to perform signs and wonders. We see Elijah calling down fire from heaven, and Jesus was a prophet. He did a bunch of stuff, but it doesn't mean that you're going to have the power to do that. Okay. He gives it to whoever he wants to give it to when they need it. And you may be an operational prophet with the gift of miracles. And if you do that, then you'll probably be one of them prophets going around doing special works and stuff like that. But if you don't have that Holy Spirit gift of miracles, then you won't have that power. So not every prophet is able to do that. Some prophets had to demonstrate visual examples of how God felt. Okay, like Hosea, he had him marry this prostitute and then keep going back to the whole house to pick her up when she left him. And Israel had to witness this man doing this to show all of Israel how he felt about them, because they were hoeing and going out against him. So he had to have this man had to marry this woman. And then every time she believed, he had to go find her, bring her back. And he may do that with you. You may have a life where it's like, why my life like this? And people see your life. And it's just a testimony to what the people need to see in order for God to get a message across. So if you seem like your life is on display, you see like other believers see it, and it may be a testimony that God is working through you to show the people something, you know. And another point to make here is that the spirit of Jezebel hates the prophets of God. We know that Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, back in the day, murdered a bunch of the true prophets. See, the problem with Jezebel is she calls herself a prophet. We see in Revelations the spirit of Jezebel. She said, the Bible says, she called herself a prophet. Obviously, she's a fake prophet, because she's not speaking from the spirit of God. So because she's fake and she's full of Satan, and she's prophesying what Satan is prophesying and causing people to stumble and be in sin, she gonna hate the real ones. And so if you are a true prophet and you operate in the gift of prophecy from God the Father, or you are an administrative prophet, she gonna hate you, and you're gonna find run-ins with Jezebel often. And I've had run-ins with Jezebel since I was born again. The very first person that brought me to the church where I joined had a Jezebel spirit. This guy, you know, he said, come to my church. And, you know, I was working with him on his hip hop project and building websites and joined his little ministry. But at the end of the day, he was narcissistic, which is the clinical term for some of this behavior. But when we come into the Bible, into the things of God, we call it the spirit of Jezebel, you know, manipulative, controlling, domineering
trying to kill your spirit, trying to discourage you, hurt you, lead you to be depressed, all of that. And I've talked about the spirit of Jezebel a couple times on my site. You can link to those articles and see a little bit more about that. But I had run-ins with that. I had a run-in with another Jezebel in the same church. He was a youth pastor, very controlling and domineering. Once I left that church, my third church had a Jezebel female that was trying to chase me around and get me. I cut her off. And then from there, I had my first corporate job, ran into Jezebel on the corporate job. I started a ministry online where I was trying to connect people who didn't have a church. A Jezebel signed up and tried to get in through a man, and I had to cut him off. So each time the Holy Spirit would show me, okay, that person, they got the spirit, you got to chop them off. And, you know, it keeps happening. They keep coming up every now and then and trying to pin themselves to try to attack and destroy the ministry and things of that nature. But that's a confirmation that I'm a prophet, because that must keep running at me. Now, we got people like that throughout the world, narcissistic, sociopath, psychopathic type of people around and stuff like that. And you've probably witnessed and dealt with people like that on the job and stuff like that. But when it's very consistent, where it seems in every area you go, that could be a sign that you're a prophet. And if you meet all these other different qualifications, you're probably a prophet. But that's one of the main signs. It seems to be always trying to target you. Like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to take you down some kind of way. But we prevail. Another thing is, most people don't like prophets. Usually the prophet has a negative word. He may have a word of blessing, but sometimes he got to say something negative. Hey, God is not happy with your behavior. God wants you to repent of your sins. And God's going to bless you if you change. They don't want to hear that. And so we see all in the Old Testament, they got killed by their own people. And if you're a prophet and you're really one of those bold ones and you're an operational prophet, you probably got a limited amount of friends. You got a very small circle, because people don't like you. They know the word of God come through you. They know stuff about them that they trying to hide from everybody else. They don't like you. Don't want to be around you. You find you got a limited circle of friends, of real friends. And that's because you're a prophet. And you'll read Jeremiah and how he felt about that. And he cried out to God about it. He said, they talking about me. They mistreating me. He said, God was like, be strong. I got you. You know, but it's hard for a prophet. But that's what God assigned some people. And you just got to take that. You can't run from that office and that gift. So that's why when I see people running around, I'm such a prophet. And I don't think they're real prophets, because they don't know what it's really about. And these prophets are always talking about blessing, blessing, blessing. And now that I blessed y'all today and told y'all how much good stuff God's going to give you, now you give me your money. Write them checks out and God's going to bless you. Them ain't no real prophets. And God talked about them in the Old Testament. Remove them. They always preaching something that I didn't say. I didn't say that Israel is going to be blessed. I said Israel is going to be cursed because of their wickedness. And you got these dudes running around talking about God is okay with y'all and God's going to bless you and we're going to win this war that's coming up. And no, we're not. True prophets say, no, we're not. Ahab was upset with the true prophet. He said, every time he come around, he say something negative. I don't like Micah. Micah always, he's saying something negative. I don't want to hear. So that's what comes with being a prophet. Jesus said, a prophet has no respect in his own hometown. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 57. My hometown, Detroit, no respect. I was born and raised in Detroit, no love. Why? Because I opened my mouth and proclaimed what God was saying to these people. 7 years in the church system, I was opening my mouth and calling out stuff. Couldn't help it. I'm an operational prophet. That's the gift he gave me. They don't like me for that. So I ain't got no love and no respect in Detroit. Nobody likes the prophets that much. You know, only the people who love God, who are thankful and wise to receive correction and say, okay, that was a good word. I'm going to change my life because I want to please the Lord. They're the ones that will respect the prophet. But for the most part, they don't like the prophets, okay? Most prophets were killed by false Christians, is what I'm calling them, or religious people or so-called followers of God. As I mentioned before, all the Old Testament prophets got killed. Jesus brought it up to the Pharisees. Y'all killed them, and you're going to kill me. And what happened? Jesus was killed by the Pharisees, so-called religious people who say they follow God. So your own people, usually religious people, say they know God, they'll be the ones that try to take you out. And that's what has happened to me when I was in Detroit and when I was a part of the churches there. You know, a lot of character assassination, lies behind my back, things of that nature to destroy the message that I was putting out. I would teach people in Bible study after church, and then all of a sudden, because I said something too many people didn't like, now Neil's a bad person, he's evil, he's mean, he's this and that. And I want to say this about that. It doesn't matter how bad a person is, if their message is true, you're still accountable to God. No amount of sin in the prophet is going to change your accountability to God for what you're doing. Now, I wasn't practicing any sin. They were lying about me. That's what they're going to do. And it's funny how they think that if they destroy the man's character, somehow the message don't apply to them now. It's still there. The word is spoken. You're still accountable to what God has said and what he's going to do. But that's how they think. If I can kill the man, I'm fine. I don't have to hear that. And I'm not accountable to God and stuff like that. It doesn't work that way. You're still accountable. Now you got to deal with what you did to that prophet. So first you reject God's message from the prophet. Then you kill the prophet or you kill his reputation. Okay, you got to deal with God about that now. You reject God's message. Now you got to deal with hurting his prophet. You know, so you shouldn't mess with prophets. If you don't want to hear their message, just don't follow it and just leave them alone. But when you start messing with the prophets, you got extra coming for you. Because God's love is coming to you through the prophet because you don't listen to God. And God is saying, look, you won't pray and listen to me. I'm going to send a man to speak to you. That's how much I love you. You won't listen and pray to me. So I'm going to send a man to speak to you because I want you to change. Because I don't want to take you out of here. I don't want you to die. My wish that all repent. I don't want nobody to perish. And so I know you don't want to listen to me. You don't want to pray to me. You don't hear my still small voice. Okay, I'm going to send this man to talk to you and just directly tell you what's going on. David got like this. He used to talk to God, but when he got in the sin with Bathsheba, he wasn't hearing God. So he sent Nathan to him. Nathan said, hey, you the man. Gave him a little example of, you know, what he did and showed him, you the man. He had to send a prophet. Why? The man wasn't hearing from God because he was in sin. When you see a prophet coming to you to correct you, it's out of love. God loves you and is trying to save you. But if you disrespect that prophet and try to cut him off, then basically you pretty much cut off your salvation. And he may send more, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to deal with what you did to that prophet and that you rejected the message as well. The next thing here is that true prophets are able to overcome the false prophets. We see this with Elijah. He was able to take out all the fake prophets and kill them. Finally, the prophets, they come to tear down, replace, build things up in God's people. So sometimes they got to come to the church and say, look, this stuff ain't right. You need to remove that person. You need to rearrange this. We're going to have to tear this down. We got to build this up. And that's God saying, I'm helping you through this man here to take my church to the next level and to fix some things. So when the prophet come, be respectful that he's coming to make the church better. So here's the message of the prophets. And I already mentioned that it's about Jesus Christ, repenting and you know, and things of that nature. The message be centered around that. But you'll see a lot of things that I studied from the prophets of the old and the new. And I got just a summary of what they were saying. Here's the first one. God is merciful. So anybody struggling with, oh, man, I just don't feel like God going to love me and accept me because I sin so much. God is merciful. If you repent of your sins, he'll take you back and wash you up clean and forget about everything you did in the past and take you on in. He's merciful. He's not this hardcore dude when you just mess up, he's over with you. No, he's merciful. Another thing, God is brokenhearted over sin. Sin bothers him. You'll see all in the Old Testament how he just says, man, you hurt me. I'm angry for what you did to me. You know, I loved you and you gave me this in return. You'll see his heart be exposed to the people and say, look, you did this to me. I'm brokenhearted about what's going on here. I'm sad in my spirit about how you treating the widows and the orphans. I'm sad about this. This is some of the messages that he had. God is jealous and will not share his glory. Why are you serving these false gods that can't give you nothing? I gave you life. I provide for you. Why are you worshiping Baal? And today it's whatever thing we put our trust in. That's our God. So we don't have to have a particular name for what the God we're serving is. Be serving self or whatever. But God sees many times you're putting trust in faith in other things other than him. That's idolatry. So God has a problem with that. He calls it out. God wants your faith and obedience in Him. That's another message. God will turn your captivity into freedom if you repent. You see that constantly with Israel. He keeps telling them, look, I'll free y'all up out of here if y'all repent of your sins. God will bring victory over the enemy if you repent. God wants justice to be carried out for those who have been wronged. So if you have a community and this stuff is happening to people inside of a church or an assembly, you got to make sure people are taken care of. I've been in churches where people have been wronged, especially women, where some guy going around in the church sleeping with women, not respecting them, not loving them, and ain't no man doing nothing about it. I'm the only one standing up saying, hey, what y'all gonna do about this? I didn't have enough power to do anything with the guy particularly, but I'm talking to elders and leaders in the church. Ain't nobody doing nothing. He's still there. He ain't repented not once, and he's making babies out of wedlock. He got babies out of wedlock already, and he's still in the church. Why y'all not protecting y'all women in the church? These single women, they need to be protected. And if ain't no man doing nothing. God says he got a problem with that lack of justice going on there. When you see people being mistreated, ripped off financially within the church, there should be somebody saying, that ain't right. Let's fix that. And if the person don't want to repent, they got to get kicked out. That's how a true assembly is supposed to be ran. Justice. Any wrongdoing within there must be justice brought to that. And we don't see that in these assemblies today because they ain't of God. Here's another message from God. He, like I said before, God wants you to care for the widows and the orphans. God wants you to serve Him and Him alone, no other gods. God hates divorce and unequally yoked marriages. So stop breaking up over little stuff. Stop breaking up, period. And stop marrying people that ain't even born again. Or some Muslim or some other person that's not even saved. Stop doing that. He don't like that. God hates false pastors and false prophets. God hates arrogance. You see this all throughout Scripture. If you think you're better than other people, God has a problem with you. If you look down on other people because you got more money or status or whatever, God has a problem with you. God hates witchcraft and rebellion, which is a form of manipulation. Some of the things we see in the Scripture, what Jezebel did, she was practicing witchcraft and also manipulating the council to kill Naboth when he didn't want to sell his vineyard to Ahab. All that witchcraft and manipulation and setting people up and control and all that stuff. God is against all that. God desires holiness. Be set apart. Okay. God will heal, restore, and deliver you if you repent. The last message is God's judgment is certain for the unrepentant. Okay. That's what the prophet is saying. Look, he gonna get you. If you don't repent, he coming to get you. And people don't believe. They don't want to hear it. They're so stuck in their sin. I'm not changing. I'm going to kill this prophet if I see him again. Okay? His judgment is certain. Anybody continuing to practice sin going to be judged for that. Okay? So as I studied the Old Testament and prophets and their messages that they got from God, I see today that most of the prophets, they don't even speak for God. They talking about messages of blessing and, you know, they ain't dealing with repentance or nothing. They just turn around, they come to church and give people a nice word. But they ain't never dealing with stuff that's the reality of the situation. I'm not saying that the prophet's message must be negative all the time in order for him to be legitimate. But it's a lot of sin in these churches. The mainstream church is jacked up. And when you see these prophets who are known, they come in and they don't deal with sin. So this is the lifestyle and the messages and the duties of a prophet. Finally, I'm going to talk about how to check a real prophet from a false one. And we've already given you a lot of information. But finally, let's just deal with the false prophets and the true prophets. So here's three ways to find out. And this is found in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20-22. This is from the New King James Version. It says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord? If the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you should not be afraid of him. You know, back in the day, anybody who claimed to be a prophet, people would get a little bit scared. And they would say, okay, what you got to say? And so he's saying, look, don't be scared of them cats that's saying stuff but don't come to pass. And he also had a mandate, if you got a prophet in Israel saying stuff and don't come to pass, kill him. You know, now we under grace now. We don't kill people for their prophecies not coming to pass, but we need to stop dealing with them and we just need to stop listening to them. So another way you can know is that they are false prophets. So the first thing, the way you can know they're false prophets, don't come to pass. They say something that's going to happen, don't come to pass, false prophet. All right? And we've seen this with a pastor named, a pastor, prophet, apostle named David E. Taylor predicted the Super Bowl winner, and he got it wrong. Okay? And then later on, we had a video of him trying to say that, you know, well, God didn't, you know, he tried to show me that I wasn't in his presence, so that's why that happened. Yeah, and you deserve death for what would happen, because you, first of all, you ain't got no business prophesying about something as carnal as a game. And he tried to explain that God wants people to know that he has power, so he's going to prophesy this on this game, which is foolishness. But you got no business prophesying about something like that, and then you failed. Keep your mouth shut. But he's a false prophet. Don't listen to him. Now, another pastor, I think he predicted a baseball game, and then he predicted that Hillary Clinton would become the president. And we know that Donald Trump became the president. And he don't address his failures in these prophecies. And he continues on to be a prophet and continues to be invited to speak at different churches. People just kind of overlook that. Okay, well, you know, he missed it. And that's what he said. Oh, I just missed it. I missed it. This is Prophet Carm. Brian Carm. We got David E. Taylor, and then we got Brian Carm. Okay, you can't deal with these cats. Stop listening to these people. All right, so the next thing you can know if they're a false prophet is they keep on giving you vague prophecies. Something tragic is going to happen in America this summer. Okay? Probably will. It's America. It's the world. It's full of sin. Something probably going to happen. And they'll mark that down when they say it. And then when something happens, they'll say, see, I said this is on my website. I dated it back. And, you know, see, came to pass. But it's very vague. Okay. And I don't know what to do with that. It should be probably where it's going to happen, when, you know, that'd be more helpful to me. And as we started, when we talked about the prophets, prophecy and all the gifts of the Spirit, they must edify the people. They must strengthen the people and encourage the people. That don't encourage, strengthen, or do anything for nobody. You know, it's just empty. It's a vague prophecy, you know. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26, it says, let all things be done for edification. You know, it needs to be encouraging. That don't encourage me. That don't edify me. So be cautious about prophecies that come off like that, because I want to know when it's going to happen in summertime. When? Which month? And what's going to happen? So maybe I don't need to be there, because I don't want to be a part of that tragedy. But don't give me nothing so vague I can't do nothing with it. And then they'll come up, well, God didn't allow me to say. Well, still, I don't take that from them. Look, it needs to edify and encourage, and I don't want to hear that, because that's not helpful to me. You see? You always got excuses for why they can't give you the full prophecy or whatever, okay? Now, there is a scripture that talks about God giving partial prophecies and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it must be edifying and encouraging and strengthening. And so in 1 Corinthians 13:9, this is the New Living Translation. It says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. So we see here that every now and then you'll get a prophecy, but it's not the whole picture. So it's not like you're going to get everything from God, because he's in his wisdom. He's like, I'm not about to tell you everything. You might do something crazy with all this information. So I'm going to give you part of it. But at the end of the day, that prophecy, while you may call that vague, must be edifying and it must be strengthening and encouraging. Okay, so let's be clear about that. Now, here's another one. What if some of their prophecies come true? Does that mean that they're a prophet of God? Okay, because the same pastors, they say stuff. I mean, the same prophets that I mentioned, David E. Taylor and Carm, I believe they had some prophecies come to pass. They said it came to pass. So does that validate them as a true prophet? Not necessarily. God said, if it don't come to pass, then the true prophet killed. They got to get it right all the time. All right. That's why prophecy is no joke. If you got that on you and you're one telling about what's going to happen in the future, because all prophets don't necessarily tell the future. So if you're the one that's going around telling people the future and it don't come to pass, look, you don't want to be in that position. First of all, you got egg on your face because it didn't come to pass. You don't want to be looking stupid like, oh, well, I missed it. You don't want to be that. You're speaking for God and you're supposed to be representing God and you can't hear him properly. Like, you need to go back and learn how to hear from him. Don't come out here talking about what God said and he didn't say that. Okay? So this is really boils down to those people who are predicting the future and saying what God is going to do at this time, next month or whatever. Those people need to be very, very careful about what they say. And true prophets, like I said, it's always going to come to pass. There won't be no something happening where they said it and didn't come to pass. It can't be that way. So I don't care if they got true prophecies. If they got true ones and they got false ones, God don't want no mixture. He want all true. You can't have a person giving you some true and then some false at some other time. Reject that dude. Don't deal with him. Okay? There's a way of getting information about the future, but you don't have to go to God. You can go to the devils and get it. Some of these prophets practice divination, where they go to a spirit and get prophecy, and it come true. And the reason why it come true, because the spirits are already setting something up for it to happen. They not always correct them anyway. So the prophet may go to the divination. He may go to this oracle or somebody, get the information, and it's on spot. And at some point, the demons are telling them something, and it just doesn't work out the way the demons had planned, because they're not omnipresent, they're not all powerful, and it doesn't work out. And that prophet fails because he was listening to a spirit of a divination. See, when God is saying something, it's going to happen. You can't block it. See, God will block what the demons are setting up, and God will say, I'm going to mess all that up. It ain't happening. Now, if you're listening to evil spirits, you're going to be telling people what's going to happen, it ain't going to come to pass. One of these prophet, I think it was Brian Carmageddon, he got caught mimicking or copying the prophecy from a psychic, which none of came to pass. But he's so lazy, he gonna listen to another psychic who's practicing divination to give a word to the people. And she not correct. And now you look crazy for copying what she was saying. So divination is a form of prophecy. It's a counterfeit prophecy. Psychics, they practice divination. Okay? They got a crystal ball. They got an eight ball. They got connection with devils. And they tell them things. And they come to pass sometimes because they know what's going to happen. They're very wise creatures. These creatures have been around since the beginning of time. And they can tell you stuff and be spot on. That's where a lot of these prophets are getting their information from. So the prophet must always give a true word. Can't be failing, okay? So that's the explanation to why some of his prophecies come to pass while other prophecies don't. Sometimes these prophets are practicing divination. God ain't speaking to them, so they go to the devil. I want to be a great prophet. And it ain't God's will for them to be a prophet, so they go to the power of Satan to get it, and they're able to predict things, and they feel special and powerful, and then eventually they'll just fail. Finally, here's how to tell if you're dealing with a true prophet or a false prophet. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." So he said, check the fruit. If you don't know if this prophet is true or not, check the fruit. All right? Is wickedness coming off this guy? Going back to certain prophets I just mentioned. One guy's being accused of sleeping with another man's wife. Another prophet was telling a woman that, if you had this baby, you're going to die in a pregnancy. I want you to abort the baby that I'm having. He's married, got four kids of his own. He's have an extramarital affair with another woman, practicing adultery in the church, and he doesn't want the baby to be born because that's going to mess up his ministry and reputation. And he prophesied and told her, trying to scare her, you know, if you don't abort that baby, you're going to die. The woman had the baby. He's 6 months old. So your prophecy, you a fake prophet on top of that. And you're trying to scare a woman. And the thing about these prophets, people will believe in them and they get scared. They can do things. And what if she aborted the baby? That's the power of a prophet. People will be believing you. So you cannot go around lying to people because they may do some of the things. You mess up people's lives and stuff. I've seen people empty out their bank account for prophets. So it's a very powerful position. That's why some people want it. While you got a greater damnation for playing around with it. All these fake prophets going to get it real bad. They're going to get it real bad. Prophet Carm and then this other prophet, David E. Taylor. All these people they got to repent. They got to repent. You know, you still got time. Just turn around and say, look, I've been wrong. I've been messing around with divination. I need to repent. Okay? So let's just do a review of true prophecy. True prophets. All their prophecies come to pass. All of them. Okay? If one goes off and he's wrong, you got to just say, I don't deal with him no more. Okay? Their prophecies edify and encourage you. They're just not vague for no reason. They're not helpful. They must be edifying and encouraging. Finally, check the prophet's lifestyle, their character. Do their teachings align with Jesus Christ? Look at their lifestyle. He said, look at their lifestyle. Does a good tree bear poisonous fruit and stuff? No, it doesn't. Look at the fruit. Is this a man, a guy? How come he's practicing adultery? Why is he doing this? Why is all this stuff coming out of him? He shouldn't even be accused of this stuff. Now, we know prophets get accused of stuff because people don't like them. They want to destroy their character. But nothing should be able to come out of that. This particular prophet who told this woman that she needed to abort the baby. First, he told everybody that ain't his baby. She got a paternity test. It's 99.99999999.96. That's his baby. Then he turned around and says, well, I was seduced by her. See, this dude's lying. You see, he just keep lying and lying and lying. This is not the fruit of a true prophet. So don't deal with him. You shouldn't deal with that guy. Cut him off. Okay? These are just some few examples. If he's prophesying about a baseball game or football game, or whatever, and he just cut him off. Stop listening to these people. But later on, we're going to talk about why people go to prophets and why they want to hear these words and they want to be around all this stuff. But as the Bible says here, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. So, as he said, we always got to try the spirit. Test the spirits. Don't believe everything you hear. Okay? So, that's all I got for you about prophecy. And I want to deal with the ones that's starting out. I feel like I got to get the prophecy. You better stay close to God, especially when you say you got a word from about the future. You better get 3, 4, 5 confirmations from God that that's going to happen. You don't want to step out and say, oh, this, and then don't happen. Because now you look like a fool. And as I'm instructing, I'm telling everybody, don't deal with you. You know? And if you feel like, you know what, I'm just not ready to tell nobody about future events, particularly on future days, don't say nothing then. But if you got you got it in your spirit, God is really speaking to you about the future and what's going to happen, just keep going and get confirmation. Say, God, I don't want to displease you. I don't want to be a person that's going around saying stuff that's not true. I don't want to speak out of my flesh. I don't want to be deceived by the devil and say something crazy. So, God, give me confirmation. And as we talked about how to hear from God, you can get confirmation of, you know, a bunch of ways, and then you're able to speak the word of God. So, but like I said, all prophets are not speaking about what the future holds. They speak primarily to how God feels about things, you know, and the course of action people should take and stuff like that. And so I hope this was helpful to you. There's 3 kind of prophets. As I said before, there's the occasional prophet. There is the operational prophet that prophesies all the time. There's the administrative prophet that's always checking the other prophets to make sure everything is fine. And he has the same duties as the operational prophet. We mentioned that the lifestyle and the message of a prophet must be centered around Jesus Christ. Repentance. Getting right with God. That's what his message is. And then finally, all the prophecies must come to pass. All the prophecies must be edifying and encouraging. Even if he's saying something negative, God gonna get you. If you repent, God gonna bless you. You see how that turn around and be positive? God won't bring the destruction on you if you repent of your sins. You see what I'm saying? And then finally, look at their character and their lifestyle. They may be getting everything right. He ain't said not one prophecy that didn't come to pass. But this joker here, his lifestyle kind of jacked up. I don't know about that. And like I said, people go off, they go after true prophets and say negative stuff about it. But if you find this stuff to be true and their lifestyle is jacked up, they don't deal with them. But if you do hear something about a prophet, make sure it's usually two or three witnesses. And then you got to, you know, go to God about it. God, is this guy a true prophet or not? God will tell you. If you want to be walking in truth, talk to God about that guy. And if what is being said is correct, then you can make decisions based off of that and say, okay, well, these rumors are true, I'm not going to deal with him. Or the rumors are false, I'm going to continue to listen to him and see what words God is going to speak through. So that's all I got to say about prophecy. Until next time, continue to walk in the Spirit and be blessed.